This podcast is part of the Podcavern Network. Check out other Podcavern shows at podcavern.com. Oneiric. Year 3 and 10 weeks or so. We've got the parts, Deirdre. Got them yesterday in Aisha. It took a while, because it turns out these things run into money, don't you know? Money Lana and I didn't have. Especially not the 6-year-old Lana, who was here in Aisha with me. She's now, well, let me tell it in my own way. How about a little book now? We haven't had that yet, have we? Mass number 2 in E minor. Ooh, live recording. When we realized we'd have to raise the funds, I did what all pilgrims in want of cash do. I made myself available at the first local church we found. There's a small Anglican place on the side street here, La Nativité. It's a mostly Haitian congregation. How they ended up on Schritt 4 is more than I can imagine. If this is still Schritt 4. In any case, an absolutely wonderful bunch. Very welcoming. They worship in French, but they often sing in Creole. I fell in love with their Agnus Dei the minute I heard it. Listen, it goes like this. Wait, let me just... Okay. Ti mouton bon Dieu, qui wete péché nous, prends pitié pour nous. Ti mouton bon Dieu, qui wete péché nous, prends pitié pour nous. Ti mouton bon Dieu, qui wete péché nous, ban-nous la paix. Isn't that just lovely? Right. Okay, back to Bruckner. Anyway, the priest was kind enough to take me on as a sort of general handyman. Lana's been devouring every book in the church library. We've been eating well. Nobody does rice like Haitians. Of course, I sent word to Tavall weeks ago. We met somewhere in the dreaming after I walked pretty much 10 hours straight along the branches of a gigantic tree to find him. Speaking of that particular detail, Dee, it's still weird to me when the dreaming turns out to be like, you know, a dream. With shit like being able to float and talking animals and stuff. Usually the dreaming is just another place, you know? Maybe it's just that I lack imagination a bit. Mind you, as far as I know, I was in the waking world when a talking wolf in a suit of armor bit my hand off. Everything's weird, is the takeaway, I guess. Right. Val. In the verdammt dreaming tree. I explained I might be a while getting the parts. That doesn't mean anything here, Vance, he said. He was looking around at the tree we were on, feeling the bark, observing the people on the other branches. We were surrounded by an absolute throng, D. Where the hell are we anyway? He asked. He sounded peeved. I shrugged. I don't rightly know, I said. When I wake up, I expect to be in Aisha, not too far from you. That seemed to reassure him a bit. Even then, though, I added, it's an Aisha that's probably at something of an angle from you. Poor old Val. His shoulders sagged. I hated to kick him while he was down, but I couldn't lie, could I? I don't know what his hang-up about the dreaming is, for damn control freak. He's the one who first explained it to me. How do you mean? He asked. When I'm in Aisha just now, I said, Lana's a child. She's about 6 years old. Val sighed. He seemed utterly deflated. She's doing this. You're getting more and more lost, and now you're getting me lost as well. I found you, didn't I? I said. What a verdammt grouch, is what I was thinking, Dee. And immediately going after the kid? What the hell? Don't be like that, man. And be kind. Lana's my daughter. His goggling, astounded face made it clear he was a little dubious. He was starting to get up my nose a bit, I must say. So we found a little cafe somewhere down a side branch, got a pot of Hagebutten tea, and I explained the situation. Wait, you're married to Danica? He asked. Apparently, I said. My heart swells every time I think of that, Dee. On some level, anyway. But she's not here with you, is she? Nope, I said. She's back at the school, even in this dreaming, if the school exists here. It's just Lana and me now, working for our crust and shopping for hatch parts. How you doing with the repairs?
Good, good. I've done all I can without the stuff you're supposed to bring back, he said. Don't forget I need it infused as well. Now I'm trying to manage the bear's expectations.
The hatch we're trying to fix near Lana's house, adult Lana's house, is guarded by a colossal cyboid bear named Mir, if you'll remember, Dee. Cranky bastard. Val was lost in thought for a pretty long time just then. At last, he went on, sort of gingerly.
Just be careful about that child, Vance. I'm not sure it's totally safe to have her around.
The flash of anger I felt when he said that, Deirdre. I nearly hit him. I nearly told him to get fucked. Instead, I went for the first wing of Herr Gustavo's training and put up my hands, palms out, and smiled. It was forced, of course, but it was a smile. I swear to you. We won't have this conversation, Val, I said. If you want us to keep sharing the big long road, we'll talk about something else. He shrugged.
You don't know where you are, he said.
He was looking at his tea. I never know where I am, I said. His eyes said,
that's what I don't like.
But he kept his peace. So, fast forward to now, Dee. I helped change the boiler at La Nativité. Lana and I celebrated Easter with songs in Creole. We got the parts, and I spent about a week infusing them. I'll be honest, I bought two copies of the important ones because, sure enough, I managed to melt one of them to a sort of artsy glob. Very pretty, but useless in a hatch console. And last night, I dreamed a dream of 20 years. 20 years with Danica, starting with her pregnancy and going all the way through to Lana's coming of age. Every moment, every meal, every little frustration, every joy. 20 years, Deirdre. And I remember all of it. I was there when Lana was born. I remember that. I was freaking out. I spent hours over months rocking her in a shuttle seat to get her to sleep in the middle of the night with Danica zonked out in our bed next to me. I read the entire Bible, an RSV edition, naturally. It's always a red flag when people tell me they use the King James for religious purposes. As Danica nursed our daughter at what the hell hours. I'm not a naturally great dad or husband, really, but I never slept when Danica was feeding Lana during the night. I changed diapers, I fed the kid, I washed dishes, I took care of the cat, a small excitable black thing called Hexie and never was a name more appropriate. I cooked badly for my wife. Deirdre, I was a teacher at St. Gemma's for 20 years. Danica had me teaching French and German. I never really took to it. I find it difficult to care, but I had to pull my weight. I saw Lana take her first step. I heard her say her first word, which was mama, of course, and her second one, which was tree. Yeah. A string of Christmases and Easters, of Sunday services at the school chapel, of sung psalms in English and French and German and Latin. I love going to church with my family. We did the German thing of the Schultüte for Lana's first day at St. Gemma's, as a pupil, you understand, Dee. Danica absolutely slaved over that paper cone. She decorated it to within an inch of its life, and it weighed a ton in candy and little toys. That was a good day. Lana did sports, fencing and volleyball. She played the violin. I wrote her a little piece called Route de Campagne. She did well in school. She had crushes on a few boys and at least a girl. She was bookish, but not withdrawn, you know? Comfortable in school, but not very interested in the big long road. In many ways, she's really Danica's girl. But sweet mother of our Lord, I love and cherish them both more than my own soul. How can I summarize 20 years in a minute, Deirdre? I can't, and that's the point. I didn't magically become a father this morning when I woke up here. I became a father over 20 years, every single moment of which I lived through. I remember them now. And when I woke up this morning, I was in the little room that I share with Lana at La Nativité in Eiche. Today is the day we start walking back to the Broken Hatch and Val and Mir the Cybode Bear. I nearly cried. I mean, Danique is not here, of course. She's never on this level. But at least I still have my daughter, I thought. And I do! But I looked over at Lana, and she was no longer a little girl. Now she's the young woman in her early 20s that I met at the log cabin with Val months ago. And she knows I'm her dad. She remembers those 20 years as well as I do. Bit of a shock, but what can you do? She's not here. Not this minute, anyway. Lana's gone to say her goodbyes to the congregation. None of them seem to have a problem with the fact that she's not a six-year-old. Which leads me to believe we're at least on Val's level, in the Eiche in his, so to speak, reality. And I think a version of the older Lana and I were here the whole time. Does that mean this is the waking world, Deirdre? Does that mean that this Lana was in the dreaming with me? I don't know. It feels like it, but doesn't line up, does it? If Lana's 20, I should be much older than I am now to start with. But it does feel like the waking world. I have ideas about the nature of the dreaming, Dee. About hatches and the big long road and time and how it all works, or doesn't, as the case may be. But I'm way too tired to expound on that stuff tonight. And before I go to bed, I have to change the stuff that runs through me and isn't blood. Not a fun process, but it has to be done now and then. It's like I'm a shuttle or something. Mind you, I haven't lost a body part in a while, which I appreciate. Knock on metal. Take care of yourself, Dee.
I wish you a safe and joyful pregnancy. I'm sure your child is going to be almost as beautiful as my daughter. Ha ha. All my love to you and the household. Pray for me as I pray for you.
Notes to Aniric, Year 3 and 10 Weeks, by Tepper Troy, Doctoral Candidate, Alternative Narrative Traditions, Université de Montréal, February 11, 684. UDM ID TT603782. I have very few notes about this episode. The nature of the dreaming becomes ever more entangled, and I think I should warn listeners that many of my colleagues are of the opinion that the narrative never quite thoroughly disentangles it. I never know where I am, says Vons, and it doesn't sound like a complaint. It's an axiom. The tree city in The Dreaming is a reference to a similar setting in Moorcock's Elric novels. As far as I can tell, Vons' dismissive opinion of the King James's version of the Bible reflects a popular one among liberal Christians at the time, which is to say that this was the version preferred by conservative congregations. The Haitian Creole translation of the Agnus Dei seems to be correct.
I'm Tom Zalatni.
And I'm Taffer Ajemian.
And we're the hosts of the No Bad Food podcast.
No Bad Food is a show about great food and the people who love to make and eat it. Our mandate is simple: to explore, taste, and learn about food in ways that celebrate all the things that make it great.
Every week we dig into a different dish, meal, ingredient, cuisine, or piece of food media, exploring the history and culture around it, sharing favorite recipes, and learning from our wonderful guests.
The only rule?
You gotta love it.
After all, there's no such thing as bad food.
Find us in the Podcavern or wherever fine podcasts are sold.